Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diversity Rules Magazine on the air, celebrating the diversity of our humanity. Over the next hour, you will experience an uplifting adventure and discussion of issues of diversity and spiritual destiny. The show will prod you to think outside the realm of what is normal and conventional. You may also hear some things that will rile the soul, but just sit back, relax, and take in what you want and leave the rest. All we ask is that you think and think for yourselves. Your host, Jim Corey, the editor-publisher of Diversity Rules Magazine, awaits your arrival.
Good evening, all you talk radio enthusiasts out there in podcast radio land, and welcome to Diversity Rules Magazine on Air, celebrating the diversity of our humanity. I am Jim Corey, your host, and the editor and publisher of Diversity Rules Magazine, a niche subscription-only publication based here in upstate New York. Diversity Rules Magazine on the Air is an extension of that print publication. So tonight we'll be discussing, or not tonight, every night we're on the air, we discuss issues of the day in an informal, at-the-kitchen-table format. No one is right on this show. It is simply an airing of ideas and perspectives. As Aristotle said, it is the mark of an educated mind to entertain a thought without accepting it. So while you may hear some things you will disagree with, all we ask is that you think about what you heard, and more importantly, to think for yourselves. So if you're interested in finding out more about Diversity Rules, which I'm sure you are, you can check out the website at www.diversityrulesmagazine.com. There you'll find out how to subscribe, advertise, or just give us money if you want to. We always need money. There are also advertising opportunities for the radio show as well. So I would like to give a plug to the folks at Free Spirit Broadcasting for providing Diversity Rules Magazine on the air with a home to enlighten and entertain. So with all that introductory stuff out of the way, I'm going to move on to our guest for the evening. James Schwartz is a poet and slam performer, striving for the simplicity of Kavafi mixed with modern gay wordplay and elements. Schwartz's poetry, slam material, dialogues of GLBTQ issues, and affirmations of gay, nightlife, and love. And Schwartz's poetry has been published by various poetry journals, including Poetry Life and Times, Poetry 24, Politico Babel, I hope I said that right, a multilingual, multicultural online journal, The New Verse News, and Nostrovia Poetry. So with that, let's welcome James. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're here. So a lot of people, you know, they might have seen your interview. You were on the air when, not on the air, you were in the magazine when I was just a digital publication. So I guess one of these days I got to get you back in the print publication so people can actually see you again.
That would be great.
It would be. So what's going on? You're out there in, where are you now? I forgot where you live. You're in Missouri, right?
Michigan,
I'm sorry. Michigan.
Yes, and it's still very cold and wintry here.
Yeah, I know. It really sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
winter that won't end.
Can. This is internet radio, so you don't have to worry about FCC sensors or anything like that. So.
Oh, wonderful.
You're compelled to do whatever you need to do. Go ahead and do it. So why don't we start? You know, you were born and raised in an old order Amish community in southwest Michigan. So tell us, you know, what was your life like? And how has it impacted the person you are today because of that upbringing? I know that's a big question, but we have an hour, so take your time.
Well, I grew up with just my dad. My mom passed away when I was 9 years old of breast cancer.
Oh.
And that was in 1987. So, and my other brothers and sisters were older and had already left, they had all left the Amish. And so it was kind of like I was an only child. I felt like an only child.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just Dad and me, and we live in southwestern Michigan, about roughly 10 miles from the Indiana border. I guess for the listeners out there that are Amish or are familiar with Amish, this isn't news, but to any listeners that don't know a lot about the Amish are anti-gay, and they're probably not going to change that viewpoint anytime soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. They're like the Mormons.
Yeah.
Probably worse than the Mormons, aren't they?
Well, in a way, I would say the Mormons probably, you know, they're somewhat involved in politics, and so there's that agenda. But the Amish are not at all political in any way, and so they're not going to change their views just because society is.
Yeah. Well.
Right.
It always really amazes me that they've been able to cling to these old ways. I mean, the real old order Amish people, I mean, no TV, no electricity, nothing. It's like, I really give them a lot of credit to live like that in this day and age when, you know, they're bombarded with modern society.
Yes.
Were you in that kind of order?
There's several types of Amish. Some are more liberal and some are more conservative. The Amish church actually founded in Europe in, I believe, 1693.
Hmm.
And so, you know, if you kind of take a look at society in general in 1693, that's pretty much how the Amish are today. I mean, nothing really changes.
That's just amazing.
Well, you know, 100 years ago, 100 years ago, you know, the Amish and their neighbors, there really wasn't much difference, other than, you know, one of the neighbors might have had a Model T or something like that. There was, you know, no telephone. There was no television. So the differences between Amish and non-Amish were less pronounced.
Now, you said your siblings left. So they turned 18 and they decided to take off, I guess, huh?
Yes. Yep. Actually, all of us did end up leaving the Amish, which is kind of unusual. There was actually 7 of us. But, you know, a lot of Amish kids grow up with, you know, up to 20 brothers and sisters. I mean,
wow.
Amish take be fruitful and multiply very seriously.
I guess so. 20 years pregnant. I can't imagine that. Wow. Now, I heard in an Amish community, when you turn 18, you're given the choice of whether you want to stay or you want to leave. And, you know, they respect whatever decision you make. And then if you decide to leave after that window, they ostracize you. Is that true? Is that how it works?
Well, it kind of, it varies. You know, each community has slightly different rules, and some are a lot more stricter than others. Not every community has Rumspringa, and others do. And it's
I missed that. I'm sorry.
Rumspringa, which is that period where the Amish can, the Amish teenagers can sow their wild oats and party it up for a while, so to speak. And even that, I mean, community to community, it's different. There's the strictest Amish are known as Schwarzentruber Amish. And they would not. They really don't have any Rumspringa like that whatsoever.
Mm. You're there, you're not, pretty much, huh?
Right. And it's not necessarily at 18. It's kind of like, you know, if a parent judges their teenager responsible enough to take the buggy out and make good decisions, then they can probably, you know, start socializing and all that.
I always think it's neat. I like seeing the buggy, you know. It's like, I don't want to be in the buggy. I don't want to be, you know. But it's, like, it's just neat that era of American life has been preserved. I do respect that. I really do. It's certainly not for me. I couldn't live that way. But, I've lived in various parts of New York where there are Amish.
You are in an Amish state. Yes, you are.
Are Mennonites, are they different than Amish?
Yeah, Mennonites are a lot more liberal. Like, for example, they allow cars.
Oh, okay. I think the people I know of are Mennonites. They're not really Amish. Yeah.
Okay.
But they have buggies, right? Or is that an Amish community?
No, the Mennonites would not have buggies. They would have vehicles.
Okay, no,
yep.
So these people were Amish people then, yeah. Okay. Now, you have an added feature to your Amish life in that you were gay. Now, did you come out when you were living in the community, or did you, and if so, how were you treated if you came out when you were still there?
Well, I pretty much quit attending church when I was a teenager, and so that's kind of how I see when I actually left the Amish, if you have to pinpoint it down, when you stop actually attending church services. And in the Amish, you know, if you're gay, you're going to have to stay in the closet. If you come out, if you haven't joined the church, if you haven't formally been baptized into the church, they won't shun you. But if you have, and you have joined the church, and you come out as gay, then you absolutely will be excommunicated and shunned. The Amish,
even your own parents would do that.
Yes. That's a fairly big issue, because if your parent comes out to you, or I'm sorry, if your child comes out to you, and you're either going to have to shun them, or you might get shunned, because the church would say, you're not raising your child right, or this is not right, or whatever the case may be. Since it varies so much, community, but yeah, it's pretty much all anti-gay.
Yeah, so you basically were in the closet then.
Yes, until, I guess I was out by my early 20s, late teens, early 20s. The Amish did know about it, but, I don't really know what they said, because I wasn't in the church, once I left.
And your father, had he had died before or after you came out?
Oh, I had come out probably out by 2000 to pretty much everybody, and my dad passed away in January of 2010.
Oh, so he knew then.
So, yeah, Dad was, my dad was kind of an amazing person. Very good-natured, always had a smile, always had time for everyone. So it just, it wasn't his style that, he's going to kick his kid out.
Yeah. Well,
so
that's good. I'm glad
that
to hear that.
I'm very lucky that I had him as a dad, because other Amish fathers probably would kick their child out, yeah.
Because I tell you, it breaks my heart, Amish aside, that when I hear of people that just kick their kids out of their house when they find out that they're gay and they just turn their backs on them, normally not being Amish, it just rips my heart out, and I just can't fathom the whole thing, that you can turn your back on your own flesh and blood, somebody that you gave birth to and raised, and because of sexuality and what this person was born as, they just turn their back on them. I don't know. It's an alien idea to me, and I know it happens a lot, and I just, it's very, uh, very disturbing to me that a parent could do that to their child.
Yeah, there's a few similarities between the Amish and Russia, I've noticed.
We'll get into that in a little while. It's a whole new story.
Yes.
That in Nigeria, for God's sake, you know.
Uganda, Nigeria, Iran.
Getting people out of their houses, for God's sake, and dragging them in the streets. It's like, it's unreal.
Yes, it's very much a mob mentality, from what I understand. History really does seem to be moving backwards.
Yeah, and well, I'm glad, you know, everything, given everything that happens here in the States, and I know we have our setbacks, and we have these freakish Tea Party people and these right-wing zealots out there, but all in all, we're moving forward, which is good, you know, with each state. I think Michigan's going to be the next state that's going to overturn their ban, so
it might
be in the middle of it.
That it looks, we have the marriage trial going on right now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll find this all unconstitutional. And
I had read an article where the judge basically, you know, mocked the opposing side star witness and said, you know, come back again when you're qualified. I loved it. So I don't think it's going to stand a chance, actually. So.
Yeah, it would be great to have marriage equality here in Michigan. We're watching the other states gain theirs, and
unfortunately, they're all going to go to appeal, and they're not going to be like New York or any of the other places that have actually allowed it to happen. It's going to be a little longer yet, but the fact that they're overturning the bans is it speaks volumes to where we're going as a country, which is very gratifying despite all these close-minded people out there.
Yes,
you know?
In spite of the Republican Party.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Republicans. I really do, and I some of them are very accepting and open, and you know, I try not to box them all into one category, but I just don't know how anybody can have an R after their name. I just don't.
Well, you know, it's got to be pretty.
These guys are giving the whole party a bad name, you know, and you're guilty by association.
That's very true. And there's a section of people in this country that identify as, you know, Republican or conservative, and they have a gay child, and they have to listen to their people in their party say just crazy things, absolutely insane.
I was lucky. I was a late bloomer. I didn't come out till I was 37, believe it or not. And I came out to myself as gay in my early 20s, so it wasn't like I was living this false life until I was 37. I did a lot of clandestine things, and, you know, David and I talked about a few of those things on his show once, and, you know, so it wasn't like I wasn't living this gay mantra, but... And, you know, luckily my folks were very open about it. They were like, you know, you are who you are. You know, I think my dad had a little issue with it, but, you know, today, you know, I'm 53 now, so that's, what, 37, 47, almost 15 years ago. 15 years later, they're totally cool with it, and we can sit around the table and talk about gay stuff, and neither of them flinch, so it's really cool to see that evolution, you know.
That's
and I can
fantastic.
Only hope that for other people and kids. And like I said, it just tears my heart out when I see parents turn their backs on their kids instead of doing what my folks did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when people say, well, I don't agree with this person because, and they cite, you know, religion or politics, it's just such a cop-out. I mean...
This book. I mean, I'm sure you grew up Amish. You had to deal with this Bible stuff constantly, you know, and the Bible says this, the Bible says that. And, you know, it's a very contradictory book because in the same chapter they cite this verse that says it's an abomination that, you know, people are eating shellfish and they're having tattoos and all this stuff, but that's different, you know. And I don't understand how they can hold out this one sentence and ignore all these other things, you know, and I'm sure you heard all that crap when you were a kid.
Cherry picking the scriptures.
Yeah, exactly.
Not cool.
Yeah, and
yeah, it, the the Amish would, you know, they view everything through, you know, sort of the Bible. And so when you, you know, when the gay issue comes up, you know, it's straight to the book of Leviticus.
Yeah. And it's just amazing. They just forget that whole section before and the whole section afterwards.
Yes. You know, Jesus said, love thy neighbor. And it is amazing how they, how some people can just, you know, take that football and run in the other direction with it.
Yeah.
So
now, you know, you're an accomplished author and poet. Did you start doing that when you were in the order? Did you start, you know, expressing your innermost feelings about being gay and all that stuff when you're in the order?
Well,
or was this something you did afterwards?
Well, I was always like a bookworm. I always loved reading, and that was a big outlet for me when I was growing up Amish. And, you know, I read, like, I just read my head off all the time.
Yeah,
and so, you know, when I was a teenager, then, of course, I somehow figured out, you know, there's gay writers, and they are at your local library. So I remember reading some Capote and Oscar Wilde and... you name it, I've probably read it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, literature and writing, those were always my big interests growing up and as an adult. So,
So you wrote, speaking of that, you wrote a book, and this is what you were featured in Diversity Rules with, you know, a few years ago, The Literary Party, Growing Up Gay and Amish in America. It's a great compilation of poems that just chronicle your life growing up. Now, so what prompted you to write that book, and what's been the reaction to it?
Well, I started The Literary Party as a collection of poems and a few essays and stories, and the material in the book was written between 2005 and 2010, and the reaction has been kind of amazing, thanks to social media. I was able to get my book out there, and, you know, I've got readers in France and England and Switzerland,
awesome.
Which is, yeah, so, you know, it's kind of amazing to, once you put a book out there, to just watch it take on a life of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. I love the pictures in it, too. I mean, the pictures
speak
volumes to the poem itself, you know, because a lot of the poems you match a picture to, which is cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So speaking of your book, we're going to break periodically, and you're going to do a reading. So why don't you, I know you said you were going to pick out three readings, so why don't you just read from the book for us here.
Okay. The first poem is Answer to the Amish by John Updike. And as an interesting footnote, John Updike is probably the only major American literary writer that even mentions the Amish. Hemingway never mentioned the Amish, or, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald, or The Amish is a poem by John Updike, and this poem is sort of my answer to that poem. And so this particular piece is what you would call satire.
I got it. Okay. Lay it on us.
All right. The Amish are a working set. Family farming, factories, logging. Canine mills for the Lancaster sect, who are not into blogging. They have no use for me, homosexuality, John Updike poetry, literary prosody, or the works of T. Capote. The 21st century has begun. Cell phones now allowed, and tricked out buggies for the young, techno music pumping loud. One day forward, two steps back, through the Shipshawana paparazzi set, selling their wares to the tourist pack who gaze wonderingly upon the sect. Thank you.
Awesome.
And it is true that a lot of Amish do have cell phones now, and they do have Facebook.
Ah, they do. Okay.
But it's all private. Yeah, you don't know they're there.
Huh. So they are, because I know on your page I see a friend that's LGBTI Amish. That's their name on Facebook now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a group or is that an individual or
Well,
hopefully they're listening and I've mentioned them here.
Yes. I did want to give them a shout-out. It's www.lgbtamish.com, and it is the world's first Amish gay support group. And it was started by a couple from Georgia, and they are on Twitter and on Facebook, so please, everyone, support them and tweet them, Facebook them.
And now, if somebody does want to call in, the regular producer is not here, but we're going to do our best to take phone calls if we if somebody does call in. So the number is 646-727-3116. So if anybody out there wants to call in and ask James a question, they can feel free to do so. So
yes, call in and ask me a question.
Yeah. So we'll see if the board lights up here.
All right.
So now, since the literary party, you've written and released other poetic works such as Among the Leaves, Queer Male Poets on the Midwestern Experience in 2012, Milk and Honey Siren e-book in 2013, Anthologies and Alpine Suite 2013, and Poetry 4, Food 2, 2013 checkbooks. I don't know what that is, but so what? Tell us a bit about them, and you know, what does each encompass? Is it like an addition to the literary party, or are these something different?
Well, Among the Leaves. If readers want to find out more about that, they can go to squaresandrubbles.com. And it's an anthology of queer male poets on life in the Midwest, and I have 6 poems in that. That was 2012, and then 2013 I did 2 chapbooks, which are just small. They're from the Foreplay series by Writing Nights Press, and Alpine Suite and Poetry for Food 2. Are four poem chapbooks, and if readers want to find out more about that, then they can visit Writing Nights. That's KNIGHTS, writingnights.com, and you can also find them on Twitter and Facebook.
Cool. Awesome. So, what are you writing now? Are you working on something now?
I'm always working on something,
yeah.
Jim.
I'm
always
sure you are,
working
yeah.
on something. yes, yeah. I've been working on some essays and some nonfiction, trying to better describe the gay Amish experience. Because as much as some people might like my poetry, there's a whole other chunk of people out there that just are not going to pick up a poetry book, no matter what. I mean,
yeah, a lot of people aren't into poetry at all.
Right, right, which is a shame, actually.
Yeah.
But I figure there's, you know, other ways to tell your story, and I can continue writing poetry. So at the moment, yeah, I'm working on some essays, and I hope to have something out later this year on that.
Cool. Are you self-published, or do you have a publisher? How do you get your books published?
No, I'm not self-published. The Literary Party was published by In-Group Press.
Yes, that's right.
Among the Leaves would have been Squares and Rubbles. And the chapbooks from Writing Nights Press, that was not self-published. It was a publisher, yeah.
Yeah. Now, a chapbook. What is a chapbook?
A chapbook is a small collection of poetry. It can be, you know, just a couple pages, or it can be up to...
Oh, all right.
Yeah, up to 25, 30 pages. Right.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. So where can people buy The Literary Party and your other books?
The Literary Party and Among the Leaves, you can both grab up on Amazon, and they're both available as paperback and ebook.
Good.
And then, of course, the Writing Nights Press are not in ebook format.
Yeah. I'm working on getting Diversity Rules on Amazon.com. I had to get an ISSN number first before I could do that, so I'm waiting for that.
Maybe soon, you know, Diversity Rules magazine will be delivered by drone.
You never know. Well, I'm just glad you're part of it. I don't know how we met. I don't know if you sent me your book or I saw it someplace. I said, wow, this is really cool, you know. We've kept in touch ever since then, which has been nice.
Yes, we have. It's
nice. Look forward to meeting you someday. We may actually do that. You never know. We'll go on tour together.
That would work.
So you're also an accomplished slam performer. What is slam? Where have you been reading?
Well, after writing a lot of the material for The Literary Party, you sort of have to, take your material on the road, so to speak. So I started doing some open mic nights and at coffee shops, and I found This Is Fire in Kalamazoo, and they do slams, and it's a performance venue for poets and musicians. So I started reading my poetry there. And, you know, reading your poetry out loud on stage, it sort of gives a different flavor to your work. So it kind of allowed me to, look at my work through a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading since 2006, 2007. And slam poetry is pretty much spoken word on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it also allows you to connect with other writers and poets. So that's always nice.
You know, you hear slam, you think people are slamming each other on stage, you know, it's like a violent. That's when I first heard slamming, I'm like, what the hell is that? Poetry slamming. And all I could envision were poets like slamming into each other in a mosh pit, you know?
Right. Slam poetry. That does sound really gay, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. You know, roping and poetry go together, I guess. Who knows?
Poetry and gays do go together.
They do. They seem to, don't they?
Yes.
There's a lot of other things, yeah. Yeah, because I've never been to a slam, and I've always wanted to go. I know the college here has slam nights up at the State University, and I've always been interested in going. And I know people that go, they read, you know, they just read their poems, and they're very well attended. And I think it's cool, you know, it's that nice informal setting.
Yeah,
it gives people exposure and insight into what people are thinking and everything like that.
And one night you're usually at a slam, you're exposed to all sorts of viewpoints, and you'll hear poets from across the board. So that's really a good thing.
And that's what we're all about on Diversity Rules Magazine on the Air, is differing opinions, and like I said, no one is right, no one's wrong. And it just really irritates me when I hear somebody is so entrenched in one particular position and they just are totally dead set, mindless to that position, and they don't open their minds at all. And I'm like, you know, I'm vocal. You can see the posts I put on Facebook and everything like that, but I never say I am right, you're wrong. And, you know, people are like that. And it's like, I just want people to think, you know. People just don't think for themselves. I'm so fucking tired of it, you know, that people are just sheep in sheep's clothing, just listening to people and not taking action on their own. It just drives me nuts.
Was it Frank Zappa, I think, that said that an open mind is like a parachute? It only works
yeah.
if it's open? Yeah.
It works if it's open, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really sad. I mean, people, and young people, and when I see young people so entrenched in this right-wing conservative bullshit, it's just like, oh, my God, what a waste of a mind. You
That's
know?
Very true. That's very true. I couldn't agree more.
Of a mind. But anyway, we're not going to change them, I guess. We have to reach out to those who want to be changed or who are open to receiving messages, I guess. What we need to do.
We must be the bigger people.
Yeah. All right, time for another break. Let's read another poem.
All right.
What are you going to read now?
Well, the first piece I read was satire, so I thought I would read something a little more personal. And this poem is called The Beginning. The black garb men cluster by the shed as the morning sun burns mists away. The unharnessed horses away are led to the barns stuffed with hay. The men kiss in the spirit of the Lord, as Christ once kissed his band. Across the green, a rushing stream serenades the country land. Only the brethren greet with a kiss. I am but a child, yet I know what today I am to miss, and how far I have to go to find redemption at the border of new beginnings and the old order. Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Yeah, you're really talented. I really love it. I just pick up your book periodically and just open it and read poems out of it. It's really cool.
Well, yeah, like I said, I grew up reading, and you know, I didn't watch television or really any TV at all, and so you might say I have a way with words because of spending my entire life with books and writing.
yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
So now you've done a couple of YouTube things. James Schwartz stands up against LGBT violence. So tell us about that.
Yes, that was
some political stuff here now.
It's on YouTube, and it's through the No Sochi campaign, which was a protest of the recent Olympics in Russia. I personally boycotted the Olympics.
Yeah, I didn't watch them either.
But oh, really?
Nope.
Because
I don't generally watch them, but I try to catch some things, you know. But this year I didn't. I said, you know what? We shouldn't even be in Russia at these Olympics, and the Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves for even going to Russia.
And the first,
and in light
place,
of
right.
the bullshit they pulled after they got the games, I'm not going to watch. I'm just not going to.
Yeah, it seems that Russia missed the whole 20th century, and it really does show. They're so backwards, and
now they're going back into this Cold War mentality. It's like, you know, it's like, get over this bull crap.
It's
not what we want or need now in this world.
Their lack of human rights is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and a couple of my past shows, you know, we've addressed the issue how some people seem to lack the zeal and the vigor to get into the streets and do a little protesting. You know, I see people in these other countries that get into the streets and they're jeopardizing their lives. They're opening themselves up to bodily harm and death, actually. And you know, I can't even get people to read Diversity Rules magazine and support the gay press, let alone get into the streets. And protest. It's like, I don't know, I think we've become so enamored and so attached to these politically correct organizations like Human Rights Campaign and the others. I'm not saying they're bad, they're good, they do really great things. But, you know, a lot of people are abdicating their responsibility, their personal responsibility to these groups instead of doing things on their own. And that just makes me sad. You know, I want to see some Harvey Milk. I want to see the spirit of Milk come back and just have this massive protest in some square somewhere, but I'm not sure if that'll ever happen.
Yeah, a lot of people are far too apathetic, and they just don't care, yeah. And it doesn't. They feel it doesn't affect them, and they're just not going to go out in the street.
Yeah.
But we need that. We need Harvey. You know, we need more Harvey Milks and.
Yeah. No, I mean, hell, I want to see a bunch of dudes take their jock straps off and burn them in the middle of a plaza somewhere. You know, like the women did in the 60s. You know, they took their bras off.
Absolutely.
I know I'm a radical son of a bitch sometimes, but people expect me to be that way. So.
Absolutely. Let's just burn our bras.
Yeah. You know, I've been called too in your face, too whatever, and I'm like, you know, I look at back and, you know, Malcolm X and all these Martin Luther King, if they weren't in your face and out there, things wouldn't have happened. And I'm offended when people say that to me. I said, how can you even say shit like that? You know, I'm a little animated tonight. Can you tell?
That works for me.
I've been on the road all day long, and I just had a cup of coffee, so I'm revved up. So that's okay. But
yes,
things like this just burn my ass. They really do. I just get tired of it. I get tired of the apathy. And, you know, I see stuff like happening in Russia and Nigeria and Uganda. And then I see people here in the States like, oh, that's happening. Let's go have a drink and forget about that. You know, that's the attitude that just drives me nuts.
Yes. And I don't. I guess it's just an American thing, but, you know, we're just obsessed with our own country, our own culture, our own news. We just don't pay attention to these other parts of the world, and that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, we have gay homeless people on the streets in America. We have, you know, bullying in our schools, and, you know, it's like I just see this ambivalence toward all of it, and it just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I don't know. But
no, I, it's not just you, and ambivalence is actually the perfect word. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, if it doesn't affect someone personally, or, you know, it necessitates some sort of action on their part or stepping out of their comfort zone, I think a lot of people just don't want anything to do with it, you know? And
it's
sad. And I just won't compromise that. And I said, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care what people think about what I think or say. You know, they can take it or leave it. And that's the way things are, you know? And
yep.
I'm not going to feel guilty about not trying to change things for the better. You know, and you're doing that through your poetry, too, which is cool, and your YouTube videos. And you
yeah.
did another one recently, didn't you?
I've got several on there. My Twitter and my YouTube handle are both the same. It's Queer as Poetry. So if anybody wants to go check that out, they can.
I love the word queer, too, by the way. A lot of people give me shit for saying queer and calling myself queer. But, you know, I know it's got a lot of negative connotations, but I like it because it has this militant sound to it. It doesn't define me as an acronym. I hate the acronym. It just drives me nuts. LGBTQ. I'm like, I'm not an acronym. You know, I'm a human being, but I'm queer. I like queer. You know.
Yes.
Well, like, that's derogatory. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, oh well. Deal
yeah.
with it.
I'm not gay as in happy. I'm queer as in fuck you.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
I like it. I like being queer. It's great. Oh, that is too funny.
When
you
I
know, political correctness, it just drives me nuts, as you can tell. I mean, I accept it to a certain extent, but, you know, people are just so hung up on unnecessary, unimportant stuff, and just for the name, you know, for the sake of being PC and not offending people. You're going to offend people whether you like it or not. And we're not going to go through life not offending people and, you know, it's just the way it is.
That's very true.
You know? And I you know, trying to make everyone happy is just a battle.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. You can't do it.
Yeah, you can't make everybody happy, so you might as well just make yourself happy.
What do you think we should do to shake things up and let the powers that be know we're out here?
That is a good question. That's a very good question, actually. And I think we need to show support for, you know, the LGBT community in parts of the world where they can't even speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
Russia, Uganda, Nigeria. There's quite a long list, unfortunately. But yeah, I think it's important to show solidarity and let them know that we're behind them 100%.
Well,
110%.
You know, it's just very sad that, you know, we talked about Uganda, we talked about Russia, Nigeria. People are like that here in the States. I mean, if they had their way, these right-wingers would have us in cages on islands, ostracized, away from everybody. They'd have us probably sterilized and have our nuts cut off. And who else? You know, it scares me.
Yes, we would probably be sent to...
Some of these people are in power, you know?
Republican-approved penal colonies.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, you know, you hear whack jobs like Sarah Palin and all these other nuts that just, like, are living in this 50s mentality that, like, people... Get with it, you know. Everyone is just another human being, and just deal with the differences.
Yes, I'm very happy with our current president, and
I am too.
I'm quite hopeful that we just might have Miss Clinton in the White House in a few years. I could live with that.
I've never been a big Hillary fan, but you know, let's do it. Why not? I think she'd be a great president.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want a woman
president.
Well,
it's time for a woman president, anyway.
It's
you know,
time.
These men are just fucking up things. We need
I
to
know,
get more
right?
women in Congress. Yeah.
I think if gay men and women were in charge of all the countries in the world, we would not have war.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, it just really offends me that these men in these state houses and Congress are trying to tell a woman what to do with their own body. You know, it's like... You don't even know what it's like to be pregnant. You don't even know what it's like to be thrown out of your house because you're pregnant and you know.
Absolutely.
And you're telling these women what they should do with their goddamn bodies. It's ridiculous, you know. We need to get rid of some of these men and replace them with women that are a little more saner than they are.
Now, that is something that we can do at the voting booth.
I'm hoping people get out and vote. I really am.
I can't remember who said it, but someone said, I feel most gay in the voting booth, and that's very true. I do.
You know, I mean, I just recently saw a Wall Street Journal poll that said that people can't stand Republicans, they're out of touch, but they're going to vote for these morons. I'm like, really? After all the crap they've pulled, you're still going to vote for these people that want to take our rights away? I hope that things change and people come to their senses in November, but you never know. American voters are very simple.
Well, I think this country is becoming a lot more blue than people realize.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it's going to be a very blue country. And, you know, elections have consequences. In 2010, America fucked up when they put these people in power, and now we're stuck with them.
Yeah,
redistricted themselves into power, and it's going to take a miracle to get some of these guys out now. And
yeah, the redistricting thing, that was a big win for the Republicans.
But I see a silver lining here. We may not be able to get rid of these people out of Congress right away, but we certainly can get rid of them in state houses and legislatures across the country. It's where they're wreaking a lot of damage. To women, to gays, to minorities, you know, they've turned their backs on Latinos, and they're so stupid because they have no clue that these Latino people are going to be, they are. I mean, America is a majority-minority country now, and they've just shut their eyes to that fact, and hopefully it'll be the death of them because of them ignoring that fact.
Yeah, the Republican Party is not very progressive. In fact, it's horribly unprogressive.
Man, I am very animated tonight. Holy cow. If anybody's listening, they're going to say, wow, he's on something tonight.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you're bringing out the best in me, James. Yeah.
But, you know, with, you know, the conservative elements of this country, you know, what they have done since when they are in power is not at all impressive. They just want to vote to, I mean, you know, deny these people rights. Like you said, tell women what to do with their bodies. Yeah. It's kind of unbelievable.
And you know what's
actually
even more offensive is women Republicans who espouse that conservative view and want to set women's rights and the women's movement back along with these closed-minded men.
Years, yes.
It's like, really? I mean, oh my God, where do you think? Yeah, I don't know. I scratch my head sometimes. I really do. Anyway, I think we better get off of politics. So we're coming down to the end. I want to talk about a couple more things here. So, do you have anything else to say about this Russian video? I know you wanted to make sure you
I wanted to what we said about, you know, supporting gay Russians and just showing solidarity, that's very important, and that's something that we can do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Russia...
Not only with Russia, with the other countries.
That's right, that's right. There's Uganda, there's Nigeria, pick your country.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important to show solidarity and to let them know that we're with them.
So where can people find your YouTube videos? Why don't you let people know where you can go?
They can go to the YouTube / Queer as Poetry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you said that.
Right. And then for the No Sochi campaign video, if they look for No Sochi on Facebook or on YouTube, they'll find it.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. So you have some poetry readings coming up. So why don't you tell us about some of your gigs?
Okay. Well, my one gig is it's in Ohio this summer, and it'll
be. I love
be...
that word gig. I've always loved that word gig. I want a gig. I want to have a few gigs. I just love that word.
It is a fun word,
it's
isn't
dude,
it?
No. Dude and gigs go together, you know.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Writing Nights Press in Ohio, it'll be July 5th in, I believe, Cleveland. And if they want more information about that, they can go to writingnights.com, and that's KNIGHTS. And there's also the Facebook page for Writing Nights, and they can get more information there.
Cool.
So do you
travel with a group of people, or do you go by yourself?
I'm going solo. It's going to be like a roundtable reading. They do a lot of literary events down there, or I guess I should say over there.
Yeah.
And
now, where is over there? Where are you going again? I'm sorry.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland. That's
yes.
Right. Cleveland.
Yep. And it's been a long time since I've been in Ohio, actually.
Yeah.
I think I was in Sugar Creek, Ohio, with my dad before he passed away some years ago.
Okay.
I remember it being very hilly and very pretty.
Well, a lot of parts of Ohio are nice. They're very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Ohio is a very nice state, actually.
Yeah. That's where White Castle hamburgers are all over Ohio. I love those little critters, yeah.
Oh, I love White Castle.
Give me indigestion, but I love them.
Like, order 12 at a time.
Oh, they're great. These little square things. I remember as a kid, they were only like 20 cents, you know. My dad and mom would go down to New Jersey to visit family, and we'd bring, like, bags of these things back. I'm like, oh, my God. I wish they'd come upstate, but they never did, you know. But
huh. Yeah, that's like Waffle House. I wish we had a Waffle House, and we don't in Michigan.
Yeah. Boy, we have digressed, haven't we? That's
we're talking about food.
Oh, God. All right, so let's break for another reading.
Okay.
What are you
going to
read next?
I think I am going to read a little bit of erotica for you.
Oh, cool. Let's get erotic.
Steam things.
Nothing wrong with erotic.
This is called Unbutton the Shirt Slowly. Unbutton the shirt slowly. He might like that. The pants lie forgotten on his floor. I smell of the sea. I smell of showers. I smell of cologne. He might like that. Toothpaste and raspberry cocktails mingle in frantic kisses deep. Unbutton the shirt slowly. He likes that. Tonight. Thank you.
Ah, cool. So did you have a partner or anything like that when you were in the community? Or
No, after I left I did.
After. Okay.
But at the moment I'm currently single.
Ah, there we go, people.
Single and ready to mingle.
Poet in waiting here that you can pluck into couple them. Anyway. So what else? What do you want to leave us? We're coming down to the 4 minutes here. 3 minutes. 3:58, 57. So.
Should I read
any
another short?
Thoughts?
Okay. Well, I guess I would like to ask everyone to buy my book, of course, and support LGBT Russia and support our own, support gay rights wherever.
Yeah.
That's very important. And we don't have a Harvey Milk anymore or, you know, any of the cats that really made a huge difference.
Yeah.
So we need to definitely step it up because the other side's stepping it up.
Yeah, and you know, you hear people say we don't need to do that anymore because we've come so far. We need to work within the system, and I'm like, you know, that's a bunch of bullshit. You know, it just is bullshit.
Right. You know, the internet is fantastic and it connects people, but that's not a substitute for getting out in the street and burning your bra.
No, it isn't. It
right.
Isn't.
I'm ready to burn my bra.
I guess we should start that.
Them.
Let's get together and we'll burn our jock straps.
There we go.
Or something like that. Why not? All right. Well, thanks for coming, James. I appreciate it. And,
thank you so much.
People, this will be recorded and people can listen to this and they're probably going to say, man, that guy is on drugs. Yeah, I don't know. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much, Jim.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. So, that was James, and as you can tell, we had a little animated conversation tonight. So, next week's guest is going to be awesome. Her name is Donna Mae DiPola. She is a lesbian substance abuse counselor, author, and founder of the Resource Training Center. And from ages 5 to 17, she was raped and molested on a daily basis by her father. And when her father passed away, she discovered 12 film canisters documenting the abuse. And this trauma prompted her to write a book called The 12 Tins. So this is going to be a very powerful interview, and you probably don't want to miss it at all. It's going to be awesome. So it's time to bid adieu until next week. And as we talked about on the show, take some personal responsibility. Get away from the political correctness bullshit and just get out there and forge ahead and live your destiny and do your part for equality.
We hope you have enjoyed your brief sojourn here with Diversity Rules Magazine on the air. We, alas, must part paths until next week when we will begin a new journey into your mind and discuss compelling issues of the day, touching on diversity and acceptance. The world is a beautifully diverse place with many perspectives, and it is our hope you took away something from tonight's show that enhanced and strengthened your resolve to make the world a better place for all its inhabitants.